Illness and disease often force people to face incredibly complex and emotional choices. It is natural for patients to value and rely on their doctor's advice in such frightening situations. Even so, the jargon that doctors espouse and the myriad treatment options available for patients can be overwhelming and confusing. Now, in his new book, Critical Decisions: How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choices Together, Dr. Peter Ubel, a physician, behavioral scientist, and bioethicist at Duke University, presents an argument that will redefine the doctor-patient relationship. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Peter Ubel to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Such a great introduction. I have nothing left to say.
Oh, you have plenty to say. There are 300 pages filled with interesting information in the book. What brought you to look at these critical decisions and how critical they are for you as a physician and how critical they are for us as patients?
Well, I got interested in this, been writing about this topic just because I struggle with it. I've struggled with it on both ends of the stethoscope. I've been a physician, but I've been a patient, and I've been the spouse of a patient, and I've seen how hard it is to get doctors and patients on the same page. And yet I know that the right medical decision is often not just a medical fact, but it depends on what a particular patient cares about. And so if there's not a good dialogue, a good exchange, a good conversation between doctor and patient, they might not make the right choice.
Do you think that it is often the patient's understanding that they don't have much say in the decision?
I think that's their belief. That's right. And I think, you know, when I go to my auto mechanic, I don't say, oh, you know, I think that wire, I'd put it that way or something, because I don't know anything about car engines, and I would trust my auto mechanic to do that. And I wouldn't tell my surgeon which scalpel to use. On the other hand, sometimes when the surgeon says, I think you need surgery, it might depend on whether you want to take the risks of surgery, and there might be alternative treatments that aren't so risky and so arduous to go through, and you are the one who knows what you care about, and so you have a role to play.
So how do you empower the patient?
Well, what I try to do is get people to just understand what it's like to be in these situations. So if they or their loved ones are in, you know, facing such choices, it won't be brand new. They'll have seen stories like it before. They'll be able to imagine it better, and that helps prepare. If you go into the doctor just expecting the doctor to kind of take over and tell you what to do, you might not be ready for that decision, and that's what I try to prepare people to do.
You also talk about the importance of really creating a team of people, of friends and family, and talk about the diagnosis, talk about the decision, because that network can then relay a lot of the stories that they have personally, and which helps in the ultimate decision-making process.
Oh, yeah, I even think you should bring loved ones to your visits if you can. And there are times where that might be uncomfortable or not what you want, but even going to a routine checkup, could be a lot of information coming your way in that 15-minute, 20-minute visit. And to have your spouse there listening, asking questions, maybe asking questions you're too embarrassed to ask, that's a really helpful thing, have another set of ears and eyes.
Do you sense as a physician that when you are using terminology that a patient doesn't understand, can you detect when they don't understand it? Or is it really up to them to say, I don't understand that?
Yeah, no, it is. And it's strange to say, but you'd think you'd go in and if the doctor starts throwing a bunch of words at you, it's really normal human reaction to feel overwhelmed, but to nod along like you understand. If the doctor says, do you have any questions, the polite thing to say is, no, doctor, thank you. But it's so important to understand what your doctor is saying. One of the things I really try to teach people to do is how to politely just ask questions or just say, you know, I didn't quite catch that. Can you say it again? I even think you can tape record your visits so you have a chance to listen to them again.
And then, as so many people do, even with tape recording, when you walk out, then you come up with all the questions that you wanted to ask when you had that few moments. So then, do you ever get that chance again? How do you then, you know, nail the doctor down again to ask the questions that mean something to you?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, if it's a doctor you're going to see again, of course you can do that. There, some doctors are increasingly accepting emails from patients for just these kinds of clarification questions. And if, I'd say if you're making an important decision, you don't understand everything going on, you have more questions, and the doctor doesn't have time to answer those questions, you might want to think about a different doctor.
Mm. When you look at, you read about in the book, and I found it interesting, that if someone, for example, is deathly afraid of surgery, and they may not tell you that going in, but their whole apprehension, the whole reason that they are putting up roadblocks to things that you are discussing is because of this fear that they have of having surgery. At what point is it on them to tell you that, and at what point should you be able to detect that?
Should me, the doctor, be able to detect it?
Yes.
Well, all of us physicians need to strive to understand the world from our patient's perspective, to know what our patients are thinking and feeling. But that's a lot easier to say than to do.
Sure.
And so while I try to give doctors tips in this book too, and I even try to change, I try to push that we change medical education so doctors are better at picking up these signals. If you are the patient seeing a physician, assume unless you've said it out loud that your doctor doesn't know what you're thinking or feeling.
Do you have a sense that some of this is generational? I think a lot of us who are middle-aged, who are going through or who have recently gone through dealing with our parents in the later stages of their life, that we become the advocate in many cases, and we want to ask all the questions when it becomes on behalf of our parents. And we see that generation that just will say, okay, whatever you want, doctor, where we are much more willing to ask a lot of questions. Does that have to do with the relationship, or does that have to do with something generational that's changing, where we, the changing face of healthcare, where we are much more comfortable in asking a lot of questions?
You know, it's a bit of both. I think there are generational differences. I think my parents' generation, my parents around late 80s, they really were raised in an era that doctor knows best and do what you're told. And my generation, not so much. But I'll tell you, illness can age one pretty quickly. And when you get sick and you get scared, it's amazing how quickly you start wanting to defer to someone and just say, tell me what to do. It's a very normal response. I think one of the reasons you were such a good advocate for your parents isn't just generational. It's because you weren't the patient. Another reason to bring someone else in the room.
Because a lot of that just has to do with the relationship that you worry, you would worry about. I know when I was sick as a child, my mother would, you know, go through hell and earth to find out what the answers were to that question before she was going to put me on a table and let somebody go after me with a scalpel.
Sure. You know, when I was buying a car once, and I'd actually gone to one dealership a couple times and really liked this one dealer, and he didn't put a hard sell on me. Really, he was my type of sales guy, but I still wanted the price to be lower. So I brought a friend in because I felt like I liked the guy too much to be a good negotiator. And my friend came in, no compunction, just said, hey, let's talk about this price.
You talk about this in the book, that if you have time to decide, then take your time. But of course, you don't always have time. But if you have it, use it.
Amen. And sometimes when you feel like you don't have time, you should just ask and say, you know, I'd like a little more time. Can I sleep on this? Can I talk tomorrow with family and friends? And if they say no, you know, we really have to decide right now, well, okay, you have a choice.
How important is the second opinion?
It can be very important, but I think when you have a doctor and a good relationship and you feel like you understand your situation, you're in good hands. You should be lucky, and you're unlikely to find someone better on a second opinion.
I guess this is a question I should have asked you at the very beginning, but when it comes to critical decisions, what you term critical and what we term critical may not be the same thing.
Yeah, no, I actually think the critical decisions can be quite mundane ones, like should I take that blood pressure pill? Should I make my blood sugar that much lower like my doctor's asking me to? And even little things like that, there's pros and cons to them. There's good and bad things about them that you need to understand so you can decide whether that blood pressure pill or cholesterol pill is good for you. And it's critical to know that about every healthcare decision if you can.
And of course, then there are the critical decisions that really are life and death of this surgery versus that surgery or this procedure that have a lot more riding on them.
Yeah, and that just ramps up the difficulty, like to put it on steroids, right? And it makes it that much harder because the emotions are stronger, the stakes are higher.
And the more you have, I would assume, as going back to an earlier point of you talking about patients bringing in different people and bringing in advocates and bringing in people, a team, if you will, that are interested in the outcome of this decision, that you as a physician like to see that, right? You want to see that Team Joe come in and talk about what the issues are, because then there's more ears, there's more information, and ultimately more questions that I assume you are asked.
Well, you've kind of put your finger on it there. I like it in theory, and often it's the best thing, but I'll tell you, there are going to be times where that's going to be hard for the physician if there's a bunch of people, and they all have a bunch of questions, and it feels, and their time is tight. So it definitely can cut both ways. And so that's why the more important this and more serious the decision and a major surgery you're going through, whether to go to the intensive care unit for advanced illness, whether to have chemotherapy for cancer that didn't respond to the first chemotherapy, you should have people to help you, and the doctor should be willing to take time.
It seems sometimes it's as simple in dealing with physicians, and again, this comes on a patient's side, but in dealing with physicians, the hardest part is to come up with the question that will actually answer what it is that you want answered, of really thinking about in a detailed fashion. If you want to know, okay, well, what are the chances, what are the odds of getting through the surgery? That's ultimately what you want to know. But if you can ask a question that is, in your experience, in the people that you have done, how many have actually survive this? That's a much different question, but basically gives you the answer that you're looking for.
And so when you know the questions you most want answers to, write them down on a piece of paper before you even come into the doctor's office, because you'll forget them when you're there, and then you'll regret not asking them. It's good to be prepared. And one of the things I do in critical decisions, I try to show people why this is so challenging. We went for 2,000 years of medical history of doctor knows best, and it was only in the mid-70s that there was literally a revolution in medical care, especially here in the United States, where we started realizing that patients should be the final decision makers. But frankly, no one's really taught either doctors or patients how to work in this new role, and so we're still struggling to kind of complete that patient empowerment revolution.
The name of the book is Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choices Together. The book is published by Harper One. Dr. Peter Ubel, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Again, it's Critical Decisions. The book is published by Harper One. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.